Question, and then I want some volunteers to answer it. Not the military style of getting volunteers. You actually get to volunteer. So the question is this: who are you? Would anybody like to answer that? Who are you? You want to answer that? I want this on tape.
He doesn't know.
I am a child of God, a son growing up to inherit all his riches, understanding, glory, spirit, and wisdom.
Who are you?
I'm a daughter of the King.
That's good. One more.
I'm Ray. I stand in the presence of the Lord. I'm a bride of Christ.
Great. We're called by various names, and our names refer to our identity in some cases, maybe in some cases not. A lot of times in our life, we spend our time, our whole life, seeking our identity. Other times, we spend our life running from it. And maybe a combination of each, depending on which way the wind's blowing. The answers to my question were wonderful. Somebody tipped you guys off. But what's in a name? Like my name means tender. I looked up my wife's names, and Nancy means grace. It's from the Hebrew. But ever since I've known her, people get her name wrong and they call her Linda. Well, I looked up Linda, and that's Latin for beautiful. So either way, that's a good thing. Let's look at a scripture in Proverbs in chapter 22. And it's verse 1. This will be kind of the keystone. A good name is more desirable than great riches, and to be esteemed is better than silver or gold. This is so fantastic because it talks about our identity before the Lord. If we really know who we are, we're going to live our lives differently than we have been. And I know revelation is sort of cumulative, and we're all still finding out who we are, what our inheritance is, and how we've been created. As we go through life, we're called names that wound us. We've all received wounds. You know, think about when you were a child, if you were playing some group game and you didn't perform well, people called you a name. If you answered a question wrong in class, the kids called you a name. You know, they said, oh, so-and-so's stupid, or you're a loser. So we've all had those names directed at us, and we've carried them, but they're not our true identity. They may direct us to our true identity. See, when the enemy wants to take out a saint, he wants to wound you in the area of your true identity. So if we can go back to those wounds and those names, maybe we can discover something about ourselves. We have some examples in the Bible of God giving names to people. And let's look at one of those. Let's look at Genesis 17. And this is about Abram. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. But we start at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful." And it goes on and on. I would encourage you to read this whole deal. So a meeting with God, God gave Abram a new name to symbolize his covenant with him and his promise. If you want to look sometime at Genesis 32, Jacob was out in the desert and he wrestled with an angel, and the angel touched his thigh and put it out of joint and gave him a new name. So his handicap or weakness was a symbol of his meeting with God and his new name. The names God gives us are so important to us understanding our identity before him. You know, I can't accept that my name Terry is all he has for me, because it isn't. It was given to me by humans, parents even. I was actually named after my grandfather. As we come to the Lord, ask him, "Tell me my name. Tell me my new name." And as you wait on him, he will tell you. Another question to ask him, just tell me what you think of me. I would suggest that you have a writing utensil and a piece of paper when you do this, and just start writing. Now, the weird thing about doing this is it's going to be hard to accept what comes to you, because it's so close to what you want to hear. You'll think you're making it up. But as you listen, you'll see recurring phrases. It's a great exercise. I want to do it every day. I want to know what he thinks of me. I want to know who I am. What would you like God to say to you? Do you have a wound that's keeping you from being the kind of person you want to be? I mean, is that your perception? If only I was this way, things would be great. You are that way. Things are great. But nobody can convince you except the Father. When you let Him speak into your heart, you're convinced. And He will repeat things. Some things we need to hear over and over and over again. The Lord is so tender. He's like a nursing mother. But He's a fierce warrior too. And everything in between. Let's go over to Luke 3, please. They're easier books to find. We're over at verse 21. Jesus was, came up to, I think He came to the Jordan. I don't know. But Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended on Him, and a voice came from heaven, "You are My Son, whom I love. With You I am well pleased." Jesus needed this affirmation from the Father. I have a pretty good idea He knew who He was. But still, this is so fantastic. And then skip back to Matthew 17. And we have the Mount of Transfiguration. It starts at verse 1, but we're not going to read all of that. At verse 5, while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." It was so necessary for Jesus to hear that. It's so necessary for us. He will say such beautiful things to you. We're so busy trying to do stuff for God, trying to work out our little kingdom. We all have a kingdom. We just need to hear Him. Just ask Him, "Father, what do You think of me? Do I have what it takes?" What do You call me? I think we could do this now. Let's wait on Him and ask Him those questions. And maybe some people would be comfortable sharing what they hear. Are you hearing from Him? See, we think sometimes that God's going to scold us say, get in line. You know, you need to do this, that, and the other thing. It's not really like that. He sees us as perfect because of the work Christ did. The relationship with God is God coming down to man to create a new man. A religion is man's efforts to get to God. So would anybody like to share what they heard? Just a bit of it? It's not hard to hear me.
It's not hard to hear me. Your ears are open. You are my light. You are my presence.
Isn't that beautiful? He told me, I am pleased. You are joy.
You are whole and beautiful.
Yeah, that's wonderful. John.
I asked the Lord my name, and he said my name was John the Beloved.
John the Beloved.
And I asked him, how he felt about me, and he said, you're the apple of my eye.
You're the apple of my eye. Isn't that precious? Have you ever felt that special in your whole life? That's tremendous. We can do this every day.
That's right.
You know, what's the one thing you do before you leave the house? You look in the mirror to see how you are. How you're going to look when you go out into the world, right? This is even better. This is the real mirror. Seeing who you really are. And it's not difficult. My work is done.
I just want to add a couple verses that popped into my spirit about this. It was a very, very good word. And not just word, but just being able to wait in his presence and hear his voice. A very good experience with the Lord this morning. But just two, and you don't have to turn there, about the importance of a name. In Isaiah 62:2, and the nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. That's what we're hearing. The new name is what comes from God's mouth. It has nothing to do with other people think or what our own minds think or our past conditioning or past wounds or past hurts. It's the name that comes from God directly. And one last thing in Revelation chapter 3, it says, I think this is so important, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Isn't that beautiful? Intimate, yes. And what's the key? If you have an ear, listen to what the Spirit is speaking. That's where this revelation comes from. Could we sing together, standing in thy presence? That's exactly what we're doing, sitting and standing in his presence. And we'll do this, as we sing this, this is how we'll close the service this morning.
Let's all stand.
Two 47.